Right, look with me tonight in God's Word, Mark chapter number 5, if you will. Mark chapter number 5, and again, we appreciate the support and the people praying and seeking God. And as a man of God, I just want to say I need your prayers tonight. I'd like to speak what the Lord had had me to be a blessing to you. Mark chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible said, and they came over into another side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. Notice that. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. I can't imagine anybody asking Jesus to leave. Can you? Hard to fathom that. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray, Lord, for your anointing tonight. Speak the words of life to be a help and a blessing to someone, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd minister to hearts right here. Bless and save somebody. Lift somebody up. Lord, challenge the church. Stir the church. Lord, help the church. Thank you for this wonderful pastor, his wife, and these wonderful people. God, speak one more time. Let the word of God touch us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, thy will be done. And let the church say amen. Praise God. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to take my theme of thought tonight. I know I read a lot of, normally haven't been reading the whole story, but just felt like I needed to do that you get the whole picture. But we're going to take our thought from verse number 19 tonight, where Jesus told the man who was delivered from the legion, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And the Lord being my helper, I just want to simply preach on the thought tonight. Revival begins at home. Revival begins at home. Now here I am at the last night talking about beginning. And our pastor gets up and sings that song, Revive Us Again. So apparently we must be in sync somehow on this. So revival begins at home. Now, of all the stories of deliverance and salvation in the Bible, this one right here intrigues me more than any. And in thinking about this man's life, I've often wondered, and I ask you to tune in and listen tonight and let the Lord speak, but I've often wondered what kind of evil this man might have gotten into that opened up his soul in such a way that the devil took hold and got such a strong hold in his life. I don't know what it was. The Bible doesn't say, but whatever it was, it took this man down a path of spiritual darkness. It led him to a place of bondage that he could not free himself from, and neither could any other man. Amen. It was going to take a higher power to do that. Aren't you glad you know the higher power tonight? Amen. Now, I'm not one of those people that believe that every person that has some kind of mental illness is possessed with the devil, or because I believe that there are mental illnesses that people become sick with, just like there's physical illnesses that people can become sick with. But I do believe that there are things people can get involved in that can open up their mind and their soul to the influence of the devil to the point that he'll take control of their life. It can happen as a result of alcoholism, drug addiction, explicit entertainment, immorality, rock music, involvement in spiritualism. I mean, it just go on down a list. The devil's got his hand in things. If people get out in it and get so deep, he takes charge. He takes over. And though we don't know what it was in this man's case, we do know that somehow it got such a hold of him, he became wild. He became vile. He became vicious. Amen. He got so violent and ferocious that some tried to bind him with chains, as we read, to tame him down. But he would break the chains with the strength of the spirit, the evil spirit that was upon him. And then those people was trying to bind him would flee from him. His mind actually became so warped that he made his dwelling among the tombs in the graveyard. This man was in a miserable condition. Miserable. He was friendless. He was homeless. He was helpless. He didn't have any clothes. He was naked. He was in such misery. He was suicidal because sometimes he'd take sharp rocks and he'd cut on himself until his life's blood was oozing out of his body. There were times when people would pass by the graveyard and could hear him crying out in misery. Yet, as bad a shape as this man was in, there was still somebody who cared for him. Amen. That man was Jesus. Jesus cared about him. Jesus cares about everybody. Amen. As I was talking about the devil talking to folks last night, sometimes he'll try to persuade you that God don't care, but God does care. I don't care who you are. Amen. What you've done, how far you went, how low you've got. Amen. Jesus cares about you. Amen. As this story opens up, if you read early in this chapter, in the last part of the previous chapter, you'll find that Jesus gets into a ship with his disciples, and he's going across the sea with them. Of course, they enter into a storm, and Jesus calms the storm, but he's heading to a man that's got a storm inside of him, a storm of spirits wrestling around inside of him. But as Jesus and his disciples arrive, this man comes running to Jesus. Amen. And as soon as Jesus steps off the ship, here's this man. He's falling at Jesus' feet. Amen. Right as Jesus steps on the shoreline, and no more than he had came to the Lord, the demons began to speak out of him. What have I to do with thee, thou son of the most high God? And Jesus said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. I'm glad I'm serving one that's got power over the devil. Amen. And then he asked the spirit, what is thy name? And then the spirit spoke and said, Legion, for we are many. And they asked Jesus if he would give them leave. They knew they had to go. They knew they could not resist his command, that they had to go. And he was casting them out, and they asked if he would give them leave, and they could go into a herd of swine that was feeding nearby. So Jesus gave them leave. Jesus gave them leave, and they entered into the swine, and the swine went wild themselves. They ran down a steep slope into the sea, and were choked in the sea and were drowned. Amen. But this man, that had the legion in him after Jesus had cast that spirit out of him. Amen. He was a totally different man. He was instantly changed by the power of Christ. That foggy look he had in his eyes was gone. He was at calm. Amen. He was at peace. Amen. And when the keepers of the swine saw what took place, they ran into the city. Amen. Began to tell people what had happened. And then the people of the city came out and they looked and they saw this man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. He was at complete peace. Amen. The Lord had moved and worked a miracle in his life. These people, never witnessing such power, were fearful of it and asked Jesus to leave. But as Jesus began to depart, I want you to notice this. Amen. And began to leave, got into the ship, that the man that had the legion, we don't know his name, amen, but the man that had the legion asked Jesus, "Can I go with you? Allow me to go with you." He wanted to be with the Lord. Of course, anybody that finds the Lord and gets peace with the Lord wants to be with the Lord. Amen. But here he's asking the Lord if he could go with him. But Jesus suffered him not. The Bible says suffered. That means he did not allow him to do so. Why? He had another plan for him. He had something for him to do. When Jesus brings somebody out of sin, amen, out of the bondage of the devil, he's got something for them to do. Amen. He's got a mission for them to accomplish. And right here we see that, amen, he tells him what he wants him to do. First thing he wants him to do is to go home and to tell his friends the great things that the Lord had done for him and how he had had compassion on him. Amen. Now, why did Jesus do this? Why did he have this man, amen, to do this instead of going with him? I believe Jesus knew that the people at home would better know than anyone else the great work of deliverance, amen, or recognize this great work of deliverance that Jesus wrought in this man's life, because they knew him both before and after. Is there people in your family, people that you know, amen, that God's worked in your life and changed your life and wrought salvation in your life, and they know what you were before and they know what you are now? Amen. And because of the testimony of God's work in your life, amen, other lives has been touched. Jesus wanted this man to take revival home. Amen. God wants every one of our families to have revival. Amen. He just doesn't want us as an individual to have it. Amen. Though it begins with us, but it also begins when we take it home with us. Amen. And have revival at home. Now I'm going to use my imagination here a little bit. He talking about me being a word preacher. But I'm going to use my imagination here tonight and ask you to walk along with me here, talking about this man after he's delivered. Jesus has sailed off, amen, on the sea, and now he's going home. This man's going home. I don't know how long it had been home. I don't know what the situation was when he left home, but I know he was in bad shape when he had been driven away out of the town and made his home among the tombs. I don't know how long it had been since he had seen his wife, if he had one, or his children, if he had some. Amen. But I'm going to suppose that he was a married man. But I can also almost see him now as he walks back into town and he walks down the street and he comes to this little run-down house where he used to live. As he opens the gate and he approaches the little house, he could tell it hadn't been tended to for a while. Why? That was because of him. Amen. The devil took him away from his duty at home, had him involved in other things. And that's the way the devil will do people. Amen. It'll cause them to leave home and tear up their home and divide their marriage. But nonetheless, he opens the gate. He approaches the house. Amen. He could tell it hadn't been tended to for a while. Amen. Because of the years of neglect from his absence. Amen. And it had took a toll on the place. Maybe some shingles were missing on the roof. Maybe a couple of the window panes were broken out or fallen out. Maybe the place needed painting and the yard was in disarray. Amen. As he looked over the place, he thought about how the devil had robbed him of more things than he had realized. But now here he is. He's seeing it. He walks to the door. Amen. To the little run-down house. And he waits to see if she would come to the door as he begins to knock. Amen. As he knocks, he hears a shuffle on the inside of the house. Amen. Here and just as shortly, amen, a little woman comes to the door and she opens the door to look out and see, amen, who it was. When she looks out, she can hardly believe her eyes. Amen. As she lays her eyes on the man who she married as a young girl, the man whom she hoped would make her a good husband and a good home, but ended up causing her to live in a living nightmare of grief and sorrow and pain for years. The man that had squandered about everything, almost everything they had away. The man that had humiliated her and neglected her and mistreated her. And thousands of thoughts were running through her mind as she stood there beholding the man, a man that had left her many days before. And as she stood there beholding him, trying to decide whether she should ask him to come in or to leave. Amen. She looked into his face and gazing into his eyes. Amen. She saw a clarity she hadn't seen for a long time. Amen. She saw a peaceful look on his face. His countenance glowed. Amen. His eyes were clear and full of light. And somehow she knew he was a different man now. How many knows when somebody gets the Lord in their life, they're different. Amen. It made him a different man. And as they stand there in silence looking at each other, he breaks the silence and he says, "Honey, I'm home. I'm a new man now." And as he opened up his arms, she hesitated but a moment. Amen. Until she burst into his arms and they embraced. And as they walked into the house, he told her about what the Lord had done and how he came to him and how he set him free and delivered him from the devil and saved his soul and gave him peace and gave him joy and explained how Jesus had touched him such a way that he felt like a brand new man inside and was a new man. And it wasn't long till he had her on her knees and she was praying with him. Amen. The glory of God came down. The presence of the Lord filled the house. Amen. And this man and his wife had revival at home. Praise be to God. I'm glad for the deliverance that was wrought. Now I know that's my imagination talking there, but it's no imagination tonight as I look out on this congregation and know there's people right here that were one time bound by the devil, that were one time alcoholics or drug addicts, one time bound in sin, but Jesus set you free. Hallelujah. And you went home carrying revival in your heart, or maybe you got saved at home and you started revival there. Praise God. And it broke out into your family and your spouse got saved and your children got saved and God began to move. Praise be to God. Well, what God's done for others in this congregation, God will do for anybody that's here tonight that don't have that. You can have that too. Hallelujah. You could get revival in your heart tonight and you could take it home with you. Praise be to God. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like they had revival at home. Go home and tell your friends the great things that the Lord had done for you. It may have been after that, amen, that they begin to call in their friends. Come on over tonight. We got something to tell you. Amen. As they called them in and shared the gospel with them, many of their friends came to the Lord. Praise be to God. Amen. God wants us to have revival at home. It's not just for church. It's for home. Amen. Praying is not for just for church. It's for home. Amen. Listening to the word of God is not just for church. It's for home. Amen. Home. I love this word home in this scripture. Go home and tell your friends the great things that the Lord had done for you through the scripture, especially in the New Testament. You'll see time after time examples of people who had revival in their home. I mentioned the other night about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19, how he met the Lord, come down out of the tree and met Jesus. Amen. Got Jesus in his life. Amen. And then the scripture said, Jesus speaking to him said, this day of salvation come to thy house. It wasn't just for him. It was for his his home. It was just for his family. Salvation is for everybody. Amen. God wants us all to have it in our home. In Acts chapter number 10, Lord, help me preach tonight. In Acts chapter number 10, amen, we see a centurion, amen, by the name of Cornelius. Amen. God reveals unto him to send for a preacher by the name of Peter through a vision. And I'm shortening the story way up, but he does. He obeys what he sees in the vision. And so when he sends messengers for Peter, God's working on Peter on the other end, gives him a vision, amen, and tells him in that vision to go with those that are come seeking him. Amen. Don't ask any questions, just go. And so he went. And when he comes to the house of Cornelius, amen, he walks in and here's all these people that have gathered in. Cornelius had said, told his friends, I've had a visitation. I've got a vision from the Lord. He told me to send for this man. He's going to come and tell us what God wants us to hear. Amen. These people had confidence in that man. He was a good man. He was a devout man. Amen. But he needed to hear the fullness of the gospel. Peter walks in. He sees all these people. And he said, I perceive God's no respecter of person. Aren't you glad God doesn't make any difference? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Cornelius was a Gentile man. Peter's fixing to do something that he hadn't normally been doing. And that's carrying the gospel. Amen. To the Gentile people. But God showed him not to call anybody common or unclean. Amen. To open up the door. So he preached the gospel. And while Peter was preaching Jesus and him crucified, revival broke out in Cornelius' house. The Bible teaches us while they heard the word. Amen. The Holy Ghost fell on them and they were filled. They believed it right while they heard it, born of the Spirit of God and then filled with the Spirit of God. They had revival right in Cornelius' house. A move of God. Oh, that we'd have a move of God right in our homes. Amen. Among our families. Praise be to God. In Acts chapter number 16 is another example. Amen. Paul and Silas goes into a certain city, Philippi, and amen, they go down by the river to find a place to pray. When they get down there, they meet this woman that's a businesswoman. A seller of purple, the Bible said. And so they witness to her and talk to her. This woman, amen, takes heed and gives her heart to the Lord. The Bible said, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto those things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized, and I want you to get these words, and her household. Could I preach to you tonight? Amen. God wanted revival, amen, to break out in Lydia and in Lydia's home. Amen. It started with her. It went to the house and it broke out in her family. Amen. And not only was she baptized, but her household. Before that chapter is over with, we see Paul and Silas. They're thrown in prison. They're there in the prison. And at the midnight hour, they get to singing and praising God, even though their feet and arms are in stocks and bonds. Amen. They get to praising God and glorifying God. God sends an earthquake, shakes the place. Amen. The doors came open and the jailer, supposing that everybody has fled. Amen. But he's getting ready to kill himself because he doesn't want to have to face the authorities. And so, amen. Paul speaks out of the darkness. Amen. Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here. And he gets him a light and he runs in. Amen. He comes into Paul's presence. His soul is under conviction. And he says, what must I do to be saved? Revival breaks out in the prison house. Hallelujah. Amen. The Philippian jailer gets saved. And the Bible teaches us in that same chapter, hallelujah, that he and all his, amen, were baptized the same night that he was. Praise be to God. Aren't you glad for the power of the Lord that can move in our homes and our families, that'll touch us and that'll touch others? Praise be to God. In Acts chapter number 19, and I'd like you to get your Bible and turn with me there if you will. Praise God. Acts chapter number 19. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Acts chapter number 21. Philip the evangelist. Amen. And oh my, what a scene that took place here. Acts 21, verse number 8. Paul and, amen, his company comes to Caesarea. Bible said they entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Now notice this phrase right here. This has always stood out to me. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Amen. Four daughters, which were virgins, that did prophesy. Amen. I want to tell you something. This was no accident that this man had four girls full of the Holy Ghost. You can go back as far as Acts chapter number 6. I believe that's the first place in the scripture where this man appears. Amen. The church were needing deacons there in Jerusalem to take care of the business of, amen, taking care of the widows that were widows indeed. So they said, look ye out, seven men full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To do this. And Philip was one of them. Now I'm going to tell you something about this man. He was a man of honest report. He was a man full of wisdom and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the scripture says, and these other six that were with him. But we see that Philip, amen, was a man that God was moving in his life. Before he was a faithful deacon, he was a faithful layman. Amen. For he went from the faithful layman to a faithful deacon. And then just a few chapters over, we see God moving on him to go to Samaria and preach the gospel there. As he preaches the gospel in Samaria, amen, revival breaks out. Amen. He becomes a faithful minister, carrying the word of God to these people, and the spirit and the power of the Lord falls. But from there, amen, he goes throughout the coast of Azotus and preaching the gospel. Amen. But before that, I don't want to leave this out. Spirit of God speaks to him to go into the desert, and he leaves this revival led by the Spirit. Amen. To go to this one man that's an Ethiopian and joins himself to the chariot and tells him about Jesus. And as he tells him about Jesus, this man gives his heart to the Lord and gets baptized. And I'm telling you, you can carry revival all along the way with you. But I wanted to go to Acts 21 for the specific purpose to tell you this. Amen. I believe, amen, that Philip's revival started at home. Amen. Before he ever got out there, if he had his children while he's started that work as a layman in the house of God, and then as a deacon, and then as a faithful minister, they came right up with him along through the ministry, and that faithfulness that he had in his life for God and God's work brought revival in his own home. What a wonderful thing it was, amen, for him that day when Paul and his company come in, amen, and seen these four girls full of the Holy Ghost. I can imagine as Paul walks into the house with these other men with him. A young lady walks through the door inside the house with tears on her face. She's been in a back room praying. She's been getting a hold of God. Two others come from another direction and then another. Amen. The Spirit of God touching them. Amen. Philip calls, amen, Paul and his company together for a time of prayer, and they pray and hear these girls. The Holy Ghost moves on them, and the Spirit of God begins to speak, edifying. I mean, there's more in this than I can preach tonight, but I want to tell you this much. Amen. As these people in the scripture had revival at home, you can have revival at home. You can have revival at home. Amen. How many want your children to be full of the Holy Ghost? Amen. You want them to be full of the power of God. Amen. Well, be an example unto them by being full of the power yourself. Full of the anointing yourself. Amen. Be a man of prayer. You see, one way to get your children to pray is pray. Being an example of prayer. One way to get your children to have a hunger for the Word of God is to have a hunger for the Word of God. Be an example unto them. I believe Philip's home was a home, amen, that knew how to use the closet of prayer. How many of you know how to use a closet of prayer tonight? You don't have to raise your hand. Amen. But I'm speaking to you tonight. I believe your children will know it. Amen. When you have a closet of prayer. I remember one time, amen, going down the hall as a child in mom and dad's house, and I heard a noise in a back room, a bedroom. I went, walked down the hall and looked through a little crack in the door. And when I did, I saw mama on her knees. She had a map of the world laid out before her. She was praying for missionaries all over the world that got a hold of me. I never forgot that. Amen. It put a desire in my heart to pray. I'll tell you, I believe I'm a man of prayer today because my mama and my daddy were people of prayer. It touched me. Amen. Now, whether yours was or not, it can start with you. It can start with you. You can begin a legacy in your family. But those of you who have had that kind of background, keep it alive. Pass it on from one generation to the next. Amen. Just like Lois and Eunice and Timothy. Amen. Lois passed it on to her daughter, and then Eunice passed it on to her son. Praise be to God. Timothy became a preacher, a man of God, a pastor. Hallelujah. It's all because they had a revival at home. Oh, I wish I could preach this better tonight. I wish I could preach it better. Amen. Philip's home was a place of revival because it was a place of prayer. It was a place where they studied the Bible. Amen. It was a place, amen, where the power of God moved. It was a place where biblical instruction was given, where purity was promoted. Amen. Amen. Why do I know that? Because these daughters were virgin girls. They were pure girls. They were girls that knew to keep themselves. Praise be to God. In the generation we live in, amen, we need to have a revival in our homes that'll keep our kids, that'll help them to stay pure and get on through. This front row is filled, amen, with young folks that God wants to use one day. And over here, this large youth group, and to me it's large, amen. God has called, God's chosen, God wants to use. He's got a purpose for them and their lives. But praise be to God. I'll tell you tonight, church, I believe God wants every family here to be close-knit in God, close to God and close to each other, full of the Spirit and full of the power, full of the anointing. Praise be to God. Whether laity or ministry, amen, we all need to be a faithful witness, amen, at home under our families. Our Christian light should shine its brightest at home. I've heard some people say, well, I let my guard down at home. No, that's the time, if any time, amen, to keep your character, amen, spotless. It's at home, amen, where those little ones are taking on, amen, what you have to give them. How many tonight, amen, want your children to be filled with the Spirit? I asked it once, I ask it again. You want your home to be full of the Holy Ghost. You want them to know how to pray when trouble comes. Amen. Your boys and girls. Amen. Your teenage boys and girls. You want them to know how to get a hold of God in the time of need. Amen. The way they'll know is by watching you, mommy. It's by watching you, daddy. When the need is there and you fall on your knees. Amen. When the problem and the situation arises and you call upon God. And they see God move on your behalf, and it gives them confidence that God's going to move on their behalf when they pray. Amen. You heard my wife testify a while ago about the Spirit of the Lord speaking to her in that hour of need to warn her of danger. Oh, if there ever was a day, we need our children to be in touch with God. Amen. To where the Spirit of the Lord will warn them in time of danger, it's now. But where do they learn that? Where do they get that? Amen. They get that through us as parents teaching them and guiding them and directing them. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 6. Amen. Moses speaks by the Spirit of the Lord about teaching our children diligently the commandments of the Lord. He said, talk about it when you're in your house. Talk about them when you're walking in the way. Talk about it when you're laying down. Talk about it when you're getting up. Amen. Start your amen, day with the Word of God. Start your day with prayer. Amen. Start, end your day with that and everything in between. Hallelujah. Amen. With the Lord, with the power of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord. Praise be to God. I thank the Lord just simply tonight. I felt this earlier in the day. Amen. To tell you, amen, just simply this. Revival begins at home. Now, true revival is not a series of meetings necessarily. True revival is an attitude of heart. Amen. Directed toward God, to where we open up and let God have His way in our lives in such a way. Amen. That whether we're at home or at the marketplace or on the job, amen, we're reaching out for God, driving down the highway, reaching out for God, amen, believing the Lord, not believing this service tonight and this altar call. I want to call homes together. Moms, dads, children, grandparents, grandchildren, God, to come together and stand before God. And oh, God, give us revival at home. I want to tell you there's no better reward than God giving you revival at home. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. I've preached in my heart. I hope that you've got at least a glimpse of what I've tried to preach to you tonight. Take it to heart tonight. How many want your homes full of the Spirit of God? Amen. I believe I'm preaching to a people that loves God tonight. But you know what? Folks, it's easy to get busy. It's easy to get wrapped up in this world. Not sinful things. Not wicked things always. But just business. Till we pass up the opportunity to pour into our babies, our children, what they need to make it. You're not always going to be there for them. But you need to teach them about the one who will. Father God, I pray that you'd take these words that we've spoken tonight. Lord, I pray, make them come alive in somebody's heart, Lord. Jesus, I know, Lord, you're the answer, Lord, for these days of trouble that we live in. God, when so many families are under attack. But God, I believe as you spoke to the man that had the legion after you delivered him and told him to go home and tell it, that it's your will for us to tell this good news at home, Lord, to our family, to our neighbors, to our friends. Share it with everybody we can. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Lord God, as we open this altar of prayer, God, touch families to respond. Lord, to come stand together before you in your holy presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there somebody here tonight that wants to represent your family or bring your family? Maybe you're the only family member here tonight, but you want to represent your family before God and say, God, I want you to bring revival to my lost people. I want you to bring revival in my home. And then there's others tonight, mommies that are here, daddies are here, husband, wife that are here with children that are here. How about coming together and bringing them before the Lord? And then while they're coming, you don't have to wait while I'm speaking. You feel the need to come, then you come. But if there's somebody here tonight, your soul is empty, it's void of God, you've tried everything else, well, I want to tell you, living for Jesus is the best life. God has rewarded my wife and I. Amen. And I praise Him for the blessing of revival in our home. Amen. But if you've got children that strayed away, you ought to come and, amen, represent them tonight. Amen. But if you got little ones, and that's who I'm preaching mainly to tonight. Amen. Those that have little ones still under your feet tonight, still at home tonight, come and bring them to God. Grandchildren that you got here with you tonight, come bring them to God. Amen. You young folks, if you got a daddy and a mommy here tonight, come stand with them. A grandparent, come stand with them. You can't maybe be with them all, but come stand with them tonight. Amen. Praise God. Come represent your loved one. Come represent your family. God, I pray, move on the families represented here tonight. God, send revival, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, touch, Lord. Touch everyone. Touch everyone. Touch everyone. Come on tonight. Come on tonight. Come on tonight.
And me, you will find.
Oh, Jesus, come on tonight. Lord, touch your pastor and his wife and son tonight. Lord, touch their other children. Touch the daughter tonight and her husband. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight. Jesus, touch his brother and sister tonight. God, touch his family tonight. God, touch his family tonight. Yes, God. Lord, people that love you, Lord Jesus. Touch his mother and son.